The following program is part of the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You are tuned in to WTR Sunday Nights.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Hello, this is hardcore legend Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio with the Triple Threat. Yeah!
This is WTR Sunday Night, the greatest wrestling talk show of all time. And you can take it to the bank, because I am Sid Vicious, the master and the ruler of the world.
Hey, this is Plexi Zary, Michael Shane,
John Walters, Chris Harris,
Johnny B. Bass,
Ken Shamrock,
Steve Blackman,
Jerry Lynn.
You are tuned in to WTR Sunday Nights.
This is Lance Storm, and if I can be serious for a minute.
This is Steve Blackman, Lethal Weapon.
I'm Ken Shamrock. This is Harry Smith.
Hey, everybody. This is Chip Gaines from TNA.
Hello, this is three-time WWE champion and hardcore legend Mick Foley, and you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
It's okay to prove yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Yeah.
This is Wildcat Chris Harris.
This is Samoa Joe.
Hey, everybody. This is Chip Gaines.
This is Jerry Lynn.
Mick Foley.
Hey, everybody. It's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Hey, you got Terry Funk here.
This is the King of Old School, Steve Green.
This is Lance Storm.
This is Christopher Daniels.
Hey, that's the player, Carl Ouellette.
This is Lance Hoy from TNA.
Hey, this is Bay of the Boob, you can.
Yo, what's up? It's your boy, John Cena.
Ken Shamrock on Wrestle Talk Radio. Oh, wow.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Dave's not here.
Woohoo!
You don't hear me not complaining.
Who's the man?
Timmy.
It doesn't.
So with that being said, we have three simple words for you. We're taking over.
This is former WWE superstar and ECW general manager Armando Alejandro Estrada.
You are tuned in to the one that innovated it all.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god!
The evolution of online sports entertainment is back.
The boss is back!
WrestleTalk Radio is back on the air. Join us as we follow all the news and views from the WWE, TNA, and the indie circuit. With Spug.
I like your poetry.
I like what you do to babies.
And the Omega Man.
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want. I call the shots.
And now, get ready for WTR.
Politically incorrect.
I'm damn proud of it.
And you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I am, of course, the Omega, joined this evening by Nick, all the way from Australia, and nobody else because Spug's not here.
Spug's not here, man. Okay, first of all, I have to give a shout-out to all the Aussies. Do you know what today is, Omega?
No, do tell.
It's Australia Day.
Australia Day.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi.
Aussie.
Oi.
Aussie.
Oi.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi.
Okay, somebody gets the reference. Oh, we got one person in the chat who knows. Thank you, HJ Lavery. Oh, Tim knows it. Very, very cool. So, yes, this is the day where every Aussie walks around with a can of VB or Foster's in their hand and, for some reason, always is singing Peter Allen. Or it just might be my crowd of people. Actually got back from a barbecue filled with theatre people, so the Peter Allen didn't stop. But it's all good. It's all good. Let's get back to the wrestling. So, thousands of Italians and the millions watching at home around the world, ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble.
If you're watching a radio show, you need help.
It's an old WCW quote. Remember David Buffer?
Oh, I remember it. I know how long Triple H stole it.
Well, it was either that or I had to steal Joel Gardner's quote. I don't think anybody gets the random ECW quotes anymore.
Yeah, pretty true.
Does anybody know the well, well, well?
I remember that.
You remember that?
I remember that.
Well, it's pay-per-view, so let's always do what I do at pay-per-view. Because remember, if I wasn't here, I'd be licking Heather Locklear and porking Heather Graham. See, this is why Spug needs to rock up on time. I will outnumber him with tasteless jokes well in advance. Rock, you are the best producer of all time.
Rock is on the ball at all times.
So, do we start with the Rumble, or do we start with this week in wrestling, or last 2 weeks?
Well, I know Spug saw the Rumble, so I kind of want to wait for him, and I kind of figure if we want to talk about any news going on, we have to get it in before he gets here.
Okay. Well, you want to hear something cool?
Sure.
I have a very good friend who tracked me down FCW.
Ah, nice.
You have no idea how good this is. For a guy in Australia, it is impossible to get indie wrestling apart from IWA shit. And I actually sat down and watched some IWA. Oh my god. There's an Australian band called Das. It burned out like in the beginning of the 90s. And they had a very famous song called "Will You Staple Gun My Genitals to the Wall." It reminded me a lot of that.
Oh, a love song.
Exactly. It is just death. It is like Hitler on ice bad.
Yeah, I've seen a little FCW.
No, I'm not talking about FCW. I'm talking about IWA. FCW is good.
Oh, IWA.
IWA, dude.
It's that bad.
It is that bad. It is half-hour show, screened on, I swear, I had to get my TV to use a paperclip with capacitors to get it to work. The broadcasting range is that bad. Literally, I was working off a coat hanger. They screen it out of Penrith. I swear, I mean... That Rock, I'm sure they'd be willing to pay you, you know. They need somebody with your skills. It was just really bad. There were they screened it out of an RSL, and there were just people walking past with cans of VB. And I mean, this, okay, respect, it's an Australian thing. We are obsessed with our stubbies of beer. But they were just walking past the commentators.
Oh boy.
But FCW was decent, and I've got an ROH tape which I've been meaning to watch as well. But there actually is a lot going on in the indie scene. I was very proud to see, who was it? I saw Mr. Perfect. I actually cracked down his DVD this week. The Life and Times of Mr. Perfect. That was actually quite interesting, and his son is a very good technical wrestler.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I haven't seen the DVD yet.
I hadn't seen it. I tracked it down. The stuff to come out in Australia is really, really bad. I mean, if you go to the dodgy Asian DVD places, you're good. But if you go for JB Hi-Fi or anything like that, you're waiting months.
Wow. Okay, so the shady bootleggers are the way to go.
Haven't they always been?
Okay, see, this I need to keep in mind.
You got to understand is in Australia, you can go to the shady bootlegger and it'll cost you $3, or you go to the JB Hi-Fi and it'll cost you $35 and take 2 months to get in. I've literally gotten so frustrated with getting some stuff, I've had to order it in from Amazon. But yet again, we've all heard about my, you know, three copies of Ready to Rumble.
Right.
I'm the only person who's proud to own a copy of that, aren't I?
Pretty much. I still say those are the only three copies that actually made it to the public.
Oh, no. They actually did an Australian release, like, just before WCW died. And I continued buying a few more because they didn't market it here. So that was just sitting at Big W, which is our equivalent of, like a Walmart or Target's more appropriate. And they were selling it for like $5. I was annoyed. I paid like 20 something US to, you know, get it shipped over. But thanks to an Amazon screw up, I only paid for one copy. So if Amazon ever wants to come and pick up the other two copies, they can help themselves.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how someone can buy Ready to Rumble more than once.
To be fair, I mean, it is, from what I hear, review-wise, it's better than the new WWE movie.
Anything is better than the new WWE movie.
True, but maybe we need to stop ragging on it.
Why? I like ragging on WWE.
I mean ragging on the Ready to Rumble.
Oh. No, that's like Lita jokes. It just doesn't go out of style.
True. I actually got thinking this week about title reigns. And I was wondering, you know, with the 20-year title reign left by the great Muda, I was wondering what is ever going to happen with the women's title. I mean,
well,
it really is impossible to beat it. I think that they're going to have to change the name or eliminate a title eventually. Unless Vince decides to ever be permanently respectful to her, which I extremely doubt.
Most likely, yeah.
Let's actually crack on to wrestling this week.
Yeah,
we've got an opportunity here. We never get this.
Yeah, what are we doing here? There's no distraction. There's no chaos yet.
Okay. Oh, trust me, with me there's always chaos.
Oh, well.
So let's start. I want to start with SmackDown 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
Now, as we know, Victoria retired.
Yeah, Tim is crying somewhere to this day, I believe.
She's a talented wrestler. I stand by this.
Yeah.
And she worked her guts, and she did the right thing by the industry.
Yeah,
but the final match,
the old saying, you go out on your back.
She put over somebody, which is, I can appreciate, but I think it was bad booking in Michelle McCool. Because they wanted her to be up against a heel, I appreciate. But they wanted to have her against somebody who could wrestle, because she was a female wrestler. She was never really fitting in with the diva crowd, but she managed to balance that out.
Yes.
Very, very
like,
well.
Every crop of divas seems to have that one outcast that doesn't have the look, but is actually really good in the ring. And you had, well, or at least physically dominant, I should say.
Well,
because you started with China, then you go to Victoria, and now we have Beth Phoenix.
I wouldn't lean towards Beth Phoenix. I'd lean for the actual one who wrestled. This is the question I put to you. Who would you book the girl against? Who would you book Victoria? I mean, she needs a heel opponent. I think it's kind of obvious the answer, what they should have booked it with.
Oh, jeez.
See, if I retire, I would want to be up against one of my mates. This is me talking from sparring experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, my final match was against my old sparring partner. His final match was against me.
Ugh. Hang on a second. Hold the show. Keep talking.
Okay, basically what I was implying was they should have used Natty. She deserves to be put over. She can wrestle. And not do the diva prancing around thing, let's see, all see my ass crack sort of thing. We're over that. You can download porn on the internet. People, newsflash, there is porn on the internet. It's not hard. It's free. you don't need it on your TV. It's a lot quicker. It's a lot faster. It's not like in the days of dial-up.
Okay, sorry about that.
Okay.
I had a female calling me asking for money.
Where's Spunk when you need him?
You see, this is why I have to say it now.
Oh, dude. When isn't there a female calling you for money? Well, it's better that the female calling you than her pimp.
Yeah.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
Yeah, I know. It's okay, I owe her a tab.
Okay, interesting question by H.J. Lavery. There isn't enough porn on the internet, though. So I think we're actually in an interesting predicament. And I want to get Spug's opinion. When is there enough porn?
Yeah. Are you in China? You've got to be somewhere where there's an entire firewall around the country to not have enough porn on the net.
Well, I don't mean Steel or Talk Talk's Thunder, but I'm actually going to the SGL, which is the biggest computer LAN, next weekend. And this is a question we actually challenge. Because if you do LAN, gigabytes are nothing. You can clear a gigabyte in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
So, when do you get the point where you say that's enough? Because the movies just disappear, and before you know it, you know, you've filled your 500 gigs full of prawn.
Yeah, I mean, there's a point where, why do you need that much? I mean, if you're downloading that much porn in one shot, you're going to reduce yourself to hamburger meat by the end of the week.
Sorry, what about 27 petabytes?
Oh, God.
That's how much estimated porn is on the internet. Thank you.
That's an estimate.
I'd actually say there's a lot more.
Yeah.
It depends. Do we count duplicates?
Yeah, and then you got, like, file shares and homemade things that you can't really account for.
Okay, let's really, really get back to the wrestling. We can talk porn when Spug's back on.
It's like wrestling.
Well, I've got WEW to still talk about. I've still got notes.
Oh, yeah, you prepared for this. Okay, I forgot.
You got to remember, okay, people, there's a legacy with me. I actually prepare for WTR shows. So every previous show, I still have notes that I haven't covered for.
Yeah, this is like revolutionary here. We're just not used to this in our system yet.
Oh, trust me, you know, I'm taking over. I've got the Blue Meanie, you know, working in the backyard, helping me out. How would you book, you know, somebody ending? Because Victoria, she's no Ric Flair, let's call it. She doesn't have this great legacy. But when somebody leaves, they deserve to leave with respect. Do you think she got respect?
Mostly no, since they turned her retirement speech into a WWE.com thing. They didn't even let her say it on the air. They just kind of, they almost, the way you would hear it on the air almost sounds like, well, we fired her, but she's still working for this day, so we're going to let her do her thing one more time, and then she's off. They didn't make it sound like, you know, this big decision or this, that, or that she even had a call in it, even. I really wish they had left at least some of her speech on TV, and it wasn't even that long. At least do her that.
I don't even check WWE.com. I get all my information from www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. We're all about the cheap plugs here. All about the cheap plugs.
Are you kidding? It's what we were born and bred to do.
If you're interested in a sports pub, please check out Bottoms Up Sports Pub in Calgary.
Dramatic pause.
I am proudly sponsored by Caffeine Everywhere. I actually got something very cool recently. I got something called Foost Mints. These things are 100 milligrams of caffeine per mint.
Oh my god. You and the caffeine again.
But again, when was I off of caffeine?
You just find new ways of putting caffeine into your system.
Oh, I that reminds me. I need to order that caffeinated soap. I kid you not, there's caffeinated soap.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me.
Hey, it's not the Australians who are doing it, it's the Americans.
That doesn't surprise me either.
Technically, this stuff is illegal in Australia.
You still want it. It's caffeine on the label. Send me some.
Pretty much. I mean, check out the website, thinkgeek.com. They haven't actually paid me or anything, but if they happen to want to send some caffeine my way, I won't refuse. I'm very easily contactable when people want to ship me caffeine. But, no, can we stop getting off topic here? Bad Nick.
I know, can
Nick's
we?
Nick wrestling. Okay.
The actual wrestling.
Actual wrestling. There was a very good match this week. One very good match. We should be proud.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great week in wrestling when you can actually find wrestling.
Right.
Basically, did you get it? I know this is going to sound like me going on and on again. Primo and Carlito versus Miz and Morrison. What did you think? Did you watch SmackDown?
Unfortunately, I couldn't pay much attention to SmackDown this week.
It's a better show than Raw.
I'm not arguing that.
I
just couldn't catch most of it.
Oh, trust me, I've got a PVR. What you want to do is fast forward. Record and fast forward. Because that's the way you do it. You can compress your Raw, SmackDown, TNA into a solid hour. Seriously, how many commercials, how many promos? You compress them all into an hour, and you're quite comfortable with that hour. That's including, you know, me going up and getting my soft drink, me going to the bathroom. No, I shouldn't rag on TNA. TNA is actually pretty good. They're churning out some very good matches at the moment.
No, TNA is doing something that the one thing you really don't do, and TNA's been doing it in droves right now.
Over gimmicking?
Well, besides that.
Main event, Mafia, cough. Millionaires Club.
Sting.
TNA's fucking up across the board. You're going to have to be more specific. You can't say one thing you don't do. There's a lot of things you don't do that they do.
Right, right. Sting's got two blown knees right now, and instead of booking Rhino to carry the belt for a little while, they go ahead and write an injury in for Rhino so they can hold the belt on Sting. And Awesome Kong's doing the same thing with a women's belt. She's got bad knees. She's got a bad back. They're still keeping the belt on her, though. And you do the champion, I don't care what show it is, the champion is always supposed to have the best match of the night. And if your champion is not physically capable of it, you need to put the belt on somebody until they are. Bottom line.
To be honest, they're actually, I'm saying that they're actually written it up so that they can put the belt on Angle.
Yeah, I noticed that, because it looks like it was supposed to be a tag match, and then they broke it down.
I think it's a fuck-up, to be honest. I don't like Angle as the mouthpiece. I don't like Angle. 96, he was good. 97, okay. 98,
Well, in TNA especially.
2009, maybe in the indie scene. I reckon he would be a very good instructor. I reckon he'd be a very good amateur wrestling instructor.
Oh, yeah.
I reckon professional wrestler, he's done his stint, he's had his fun, get the fuck out of the booth.
He's so overplayed thanks to TNA.
He was overplayed in WWE! He's overplayed, period. They had the right balance in ECW. He was on for one show. They put it on one DVD, It was never screened on TV.
One show, and he left of his own accord.
Well, it's true. He did leave of his own accord.
Yeah.
Although, to be fair, it was a very controversial thing they did on that night. That was the night of the crucifixion.
Yeah.
On one hand, it was very ECW. Let me start. On one hand, it did piss a lot of people off. On the other hand, it was very ECW, because ECW was all about counterculture.
Right. ECW was going the place that everyone else was too scared to go.
Exactly. I think it was really... It was more Life of Brian than professional wrestling, though.
I don't know about that. I mean, at least in ECW, the people who were performing weren't doing it for the paycheck. You actually had passion in the ring. That
what
was not
paycheck?
Bad. Yeah, what paycheck?
They were they like $20 or $50? The Dudleys, before they left, they were renegotiating the contract with ECW. They asked for a $1 per show pay increase each. One fucking dollar. Paul Heyman said to them, to be honest, I can't even afford to pay you what you're on now, let alone an extra dollar. And that's why they left. And
yeah,
I guarantee you, WWE was paying them a lot more than a dollar extra.
Oh, yeah. Paul Heyman, great booker, very bad businessman.
I think Paul, I don't think he's that bad, but I think he got too big too quickly.
He trusted most of the finances to the other wrestlers, though. I mean, he had people doing everything for him. He hit a point where it was like, okay, I can't afford to hire people to do this, but I still need somebody to do this.
Well, I mean... I guess it's really smart if you can get people who know what they're doing to do things for you and help out. That's really good. But, I think it's very complicated because on one hand, outsourcing a problem is good because you can't be, you know, working 24/7. And from what I understand, Paul Heyman was at the time. Okay, I think the fun's over. I think Spug's on to us.
So much for... Jeez, and we couldn't keep on track when he was gone. This is going to be bad.
Okay, quick, we've got to get through whatever wrestling we wanted to talk about. Okay, what the hell happened? There wasn't a lot that happened. TNA, I think they're going to drop the belt to OBD. I think that's a good move. Kong needs to drop the belt, and
yeah.
She can carry the title. I said best match, Primo and Carlito, Miz and Morrison. Miz and Morrison dramatically overbooked. Guys.
Almost every show.
What almost? What show are they not on?
TNA. And I wouldn't be surprised if they were there, too.
Man,
to be fair, they've got the talent for it. But I'm seeing too much of them.
Well, I can honestly tell you, I noticed in the match this week, Miz and Morrison were tired.
No, don't blame them.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Primo and Carlito versus Miz and Morrison... Wrestling gold. Correct that. I just need to say wrestling. Not sports entertainment. Wrestling. And I don't throw that term around very often.
They don't let us anymore.
No, I want to thank Tim Stein. He lets me say whatever the fuck I want on the air. Props to Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
It's good taking over for the man who screened, who put porn on the stream. We can say whatever we want. No swearing, Tim? Bullshit. Sorry, Tim just posted no swearing now.
Fuck you, Tim.
Tim, come down here and say that.
Porn, yes. Swearing, no.
Tim, you're probably the only person who swears more than me on the air. Okay, okay, back to Miz and Morris. Overbooked, very talented. I like the improvements Miz has made. He's definitely come a long way. I reckon that shipping Johnny Nitro over to OVW, very, very smart move. He has established himself. I don't know how they trained him. I don't really care, but they probably should send a lot of other people through the same sort of training methods. As for FCW, I should probably quickly cover that. They've actually got the American Dream, Dustin Rhodes, calling with, who was the schmuck from Tough Enough? Josh Matthews?
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to have to be more specific.
Yeah, they've got Josh Matthews. Color commentary shouldn't be doing play-by-play in my book. But hey, WWE, who apparently set the bar, they replaced Styles with Adam Lee.
Yeah, that is the depressing fact.
That is the depressing fact. They set the standard. They're the reason why, you know, only WEW have started up their slogan now. We are wrestling. If WEW are proclaiming themselves as the wrestling organization, let me put it to you this way. I am going to warn you all now. If I don't see wrestling at WrestleMania, Spud's not even got a chance to talk. I am going to be ranting so hard, ears may bleed. People will have to turn down stereos. People may not even need the broadcast because I will be so loud from Australia, you will hear it in the States.
Okay, we're having fun here, but it was Royal Rumble night, huge pay-per-view. We have a lot to talk about, and we have a co-host waiting in the wing, so how about we take a break so we can get him on?
Yep.
All right, stay tuned. Spud is going to be joining us. You are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Attention Wild Talk Radio Network fans, are you looking for a show that is wholesome, a show that is family-oriented and kids-friendly, and a show that is filled with politically correct humor? Then tune in to the WTR Network every Saturday night at midnight Eastern for all things G-rated.
Hold on. Fuck that politically correct bullshit. Tune in Saturday nights for No Limits Extreme Conversation, covering everything from, well, just about anything you can possibly imagine. If you can think it, it will be talked about and more live Saturday nights on Cigarette Butts and Bandanas. Live, midnight Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
sports fans need a place to go to find out everything about their hometown team. For Minnesota sports fans, that one place is right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tony Oberstart breaks down everything that you want to know about everything sports in Minnesota every Wednesday night. From an Adrian Peterson long touchdown run.
Bollinger under center. Peterson is the tailback. Handoff on third down. He runs to a first down. He sprints to the far side across the 50. He breaks a tackle. And Adrian Peterson is loose. He has scored a 65-yard touchdown.
A Marin Gaborik breakaway goal. Or a Joe Maurer home run.
And high and deep to center. Sizemore back, it's gone! A home run for Maurer! And it's a one-run game.
Tony O keeps you covered. Listen to all the excitement and passion of a Minnesota sports fan on Minnesota Sports Weekly. Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Every single Wednesday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Fire on Ice, a brand new webcast based around the NHL's Calgary Flames. You set the topics and you lead the discussion.
Hadlick with sharp shoots. What a stop by Giffrasov. Rebound. Oh, an even better save. They score. Justin Boyd.
Jump into the play as you get to choose who winds up in the dumbass club. Fire on Ice, the weekly show about the hottest team playing the coolest game on earth.
Coming to the Wild Talk Radio Network is Joe Burgett's Wrestling Report.
Okay, now Cameron, who do you think is going to win the Royal Rumble coming up?
Gosh, Joe, I really don't know. I know Randy Orton's pretty good. There's really no telling. It's going to be just one of those things where somebody's going to get lucky. Maybe whoever draws that last number, that number 30, and comes in last, maybe they'll win.
Not everyone's won at number 30. There's only been, I think, two or three people that's won at number 30.
Right.
Whoever comes in last usually is not the winner. Cena won last year, but he's probably the only one that's won it that many times. I don't remember the last person who did it. I know there was one. It might have been Kane or somebody. I don't know. Who cares who wins
right.
it? I think the
right.
problem is that the person who's going to win it probably will not be able to do it. Because No Way Out, I'm hearing this Elimination Chamber match, thinking that if they do that, then he'll be the number one contender, right now. That person will go on to name.
Tune in for some more great wrestling debate on Joe Burgett's Wrestling Report, Saturdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
What's going on? This is Lita from the WWE, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Back, bitches! You thought y'all could get rid of me, huh?
We tried.
How's it
and
going?
I'm good. I gotta say real quick, I'm gonna have a geek moment. No, I'm not pissed that I didn't make millions on the idea. What I am pissed about is some broad made millions off the idea and made a completely romanticized and bullshit version of vampires to sell to emo teeny boppers like yourself, who ate it up like they were served piss off of a golden platter.
Spug, when do you come up with these analogies?
Can you not argue with the chat room this week?
Rock, I think that is a world record. I win. Well,
no, we got. Wait, tonight we're off topic very quickly.
Well, if I'm such the pissant, explain to me why I'm the one with the microphone in the show, and you're the one arguing with me in the chat room. Anyway,
we do have a call-in option.
We do have a call-in option. 267-297-1397 is the number to call in. Call in and join us. Or if you want to join us on Skype, which is absolutely free, please call. Don't be afraid to call into Sir Rockin. That is the Skype option. You can come into us absolutely free.
Yes, please. Please. Call the number.
But there was a pay-per-view tonight. And quickly.
Jeez.
Before we run down everything, because we usually do that, I'm just going to bounce match to match tonight like a child with ADD, because that's what I do normally. And I want to talk about the actual main event for the evening, the Royal Rumble match. Not a whole lot of surprises this year, but there was one big one that I called Omega with right before the match and said, dude, he's going to be there. And Omega goes,
we have somebody trapped inside a microphone.
Do we?
Or is that you, Omega?
That was me.
Oh, it was Omega.
Trying to contain myself.
Yeah, he's trying to contain himself.
Did you get nothing to fight or something? How do you get that high?
Well, I called Omega.
Sorry, Spug, finish.
I called Omega right before the match. I said, Omega, dude's showing up tonight. He's going to be there. I said, it's in Detroit, it's right up the road from Battle Creek. He goes, nah, he won't be there. How come Adam Martin didn't report on it? I'm like, dude, there are some things that Adam Martin doesn't even know. I'm like, trust me, I've got sources on this one. I know he's gonna be there. And sure as shit, number 25, RVD comes walking out.
I have a beef with
you. Hold
on.
I don't think he should have been 30. I call Omega. I swear to Christ, this is what he says to me. This is the entire conversation. I told you who's gonna be there tonight. Omega's response, I love you.
Yes, you got that one right.
Mm-hmm. I also got right who was gonna win.
Yeah, I called that one too.
Yeah, It still miffs me how they let him win. I mean, he's not even a credible heel.
Not a credible heel.
He's not a credible heel.
What are you talking about? He's in terms of actual wrestler ability, he's miles ahead of the locker room.
He's not a credible heel. Dude, he's not an over heel. He's not a credible heel. He's just not.
Not over.
Not over heel or a credible heel.
Did you watch Raw last week?
I did. I did watch Raw. Well, I watched one part of Raw. I watched the punting incident.
I personally am disappointed because I think that they should have gone with a bit of a surprise. I would have loved it if they'd bloody gone with, you know, Morrison. Because, I mean, he's already fucking carrying the show. Why not give him a bit of credit for it?
What? Who? Randy Orton's carrying Raw? Are you kidding me?
I said Morrison.
Well, how does Morrison and Randy Orton have anything to do with each other? Will you please get off the floor?
I don't think that they picked the right guy to win the match. Listen
Nick,
to what I'm
saying. Nick, do me a favor. I want you to unclamp your ass cheeks and get off of Morrison's cock and join the rest of us in the conversation about Randy Orton.
I was having beefs with the Rumble match. I opened the show with it and got told, wait until Spug arrives.
Well, the thing is, the thing about the Rumble match and Randy Orton winning it is because if Edge isn't locked in the storyline with Jeff Hardy, then Edge wins it tonight. You've already, the only other person that they could have had win it and made it look good was Orton, unfortunately. Triple H can't win it because he's won it the past few years and gone to WrestleMania and got pinned and beaten. You had Cena win it last year. And Cena's the champ right now, so he can't win it. You've got,
Yeah, but my point was I wanted a surprise. I wanted a, whoa, I didn't see that coming moment.
I think they kind of blew that with RVD. They're really, it's typical WWE these days where the Royal Rumble winner isn't a surprise anymore because the storyline always sets it up so well. I mean, it's so strict that you really could see it coming a mile away.
And yes, Amy, nobody else in the wrestling world knows that Triple H and Stephanie are together.
Okay, as I was saying, don't you remember when you were first watching wrestling? It might have even been the first couple of weeks, and it was all a surprise, and you didn't know what was going on. I want to be brought back there as a wrestling fan.
Not going to happen, buddy!
I didn't say it wasn't going to happen, but I said this is what I want.
I want $1 million. I want $1 million. I want somebody to walk up and pop Randy Orton in the head with a shotgun shell. Not gonna happen.
Got a 50-50 chance with Cena.
Hell.
It depends on the town that night.
Yeah.
Get another one-night stand pay-per-view, Hammerstein Arena. Put him up against RVD.
But, I mean, really, they're trying to book Orton as this credible heel, this major heel in the company, and he's not. He's absolutely not.
I think we're back to Tim's goat theory then. I mean, if they're doing something and they're keeping on putting up with the guys who are acting out, because we all know he's also acting out behind the stage and treating other people like crap and not rocking up to things, and he keeps on getting put over, and let's face it, the Primo Brothers, they're good wrestlers, but they live with their foot in their mouth. There must be a photo of Vince blowing a goat that a whole bunch of the old fogies have.
It's not even that. It's... You look at the major players who could have won the Royal Rumble, other than Randy Orton. JBL locked up in a storyline. HBK locked up in a storyline. Edge locked up in a storyline. Hardy is locked up in a storyline. Triple H is getting ready to get locked up in a storyline with Kozlov again.
And Taker's too hurting to carry a match that would main event, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think... No, see, I wouldn't even put JBL on that list. He couldn't work a WrestleMania main event.
Yeah, he could.
No, not with bad back and bad knees, no.
I'm just talking the big-name guys that you would expect to win that match. That you would normally see win that match.
The point of the Rumble hasn't always been to be that big guy to win the match. I mean, Shawn won it when he was just barely... We used to at the top of the mid-card when he won it.
It propelled him where?
Well, then what's your beef with RVD winning the title, Spug?
With RVD winning the title?
I admit, yeah. Well, with
I don't
RVD
have a beef with... You mean Randy Orton winning the Rumble?
No. You said you didn't like the idea of RVD winning the Rumble.
I don't like the idea of RVD winning the Rumble because RVD hasn't been on television in a long time. Sure, he's got a large fan following across the country,
oh,
but
yeah.
if RV, But if RVD were to win the Rumble tonight in Detroit, it would be seen as a fan favorite move, that it was done because the show was in his hometown,
yeah,
and not because he deserved the push.
Yeah, it's fan wanking.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do it. They do, mostly because they want to make sure he's credible and he can still work the ring. Even though he's been wrestling here and there, they want to make sure he's TV presentable in the ring before they do anything with him.
By the way, did you see RVD's tights tonight?
Yeah, I did.
Did you see who was on them?
No, I missed it. Who?
Ghost Rider.
Oh.
He had Ghost Rider on his tights tonight, which is awesome.
He's a Ghost Rider collector. I've seen this big display case he has full of toys and comics.
Yeah, he had Ghost Rider on his tights. On the one leg, it had Ghost Rider holding the chain whip, and the chain went around the bottom part of his, of the tight on his thighs and across. I was like, hell yes.
He's got the biggest wardrobe in pro wrestling, I swear. I think I've seen him in the same thing, what, 2-3 times?
Probably, but I'm glad RVD came back. It brings another credible face and another fan favorite in. But my problem with Orton winning it is that, one, he's not a credible heel. Because if you've seen the fan videos and had the fan interaction, like I've had with Randy Orton, he's not playing a gimmick when he's out of the ring. He's not kayfabing it. That dude really is an asshole. He really genuinely doesn't like the fans and doesn't like the people who come to the shows.
Well,
to him, this is a paycheck.
Well, he does come off as the type that he comes off as an asshole. Even when I remember he was working a face, but he was still doing that, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me kind of pose in the corner, like, the egotistical thing. He couldn't even work a face style because he just comes off like such an asshole.
I know. But he's – and look, part of my biggest problem other than that with Randy is that I don't think he can handle the spotlight. They gave it to him once and he couldn't do it when he went over on Chris Benoit at SummerSlam and won the title. They got dumped from Evolution and he went on that mini face run.
No, I think he's changed a lot since then. Yeah, he's still playing. He's got a similar character, but it's played up so differently now. I think he could carry, at least on the heel side, carry Raw for a while. I don't know if he can do it long term. He's got himself set up really nicely right now.
No, see, the thing is that, alright, who's the major credible face on Raw? The champ, John Cena. 9 out of 10 times, going into WrestleMania, what usually happens in that championship feud? The Royal Rumble main event winner does a switch. They'll either go if they're a face, they'll turn heel, or if they're a heel, they'll go face, which means they're probably getting ready to prime John Cena for a heel run.
They weren't making a million every month on his merchandise, then maybe.
Well, seriously, think about this.
Okay,
right now, right? How many times have we heard stories and seen reports of them having to overdub the crowd noise with recorded cheering when Cena comes out because the boos are so loud?
The thing
but
is,
the merchandise is still selling.
Yeah,
product is worth anything anymore.
Bug. They had a whole report on how different the crowd reactions were from the last time they were in town. They are working. He's working better than he used to. I mean, it's taken a long damn time, but he is getting more support than he was.
Okay, President Bush towards the end's approval rating went up. Doesn't mean he was a better president at the end than he was at the beginning.
I'm not talking about 2 extra points. I'm talking about at least... at least a fourth of the crowd that was against him before were cheering him this time. I mean, it was a dramatic change.
They're going to prime Randy Orton and give him a face run.
Bullshit.
It'll happen. It'll happen.
He's damn near lobotomized.
Dude,
Vince McMahon. They are playing
you
him.
Honestly, think that Randy Orton and the ambiguously gay trio can run Raw as heels?
Yes.
Do you think they'd work as a face?
They would work.
Orton will never be a face.
He can't pull it off. The only way they get a serious heel run is if those three literally spit in the face of the predecessors of the business that they claim genetic stock from.
Hey, Orton, legend killer. Hello?
Dude, I'm telling all three of them need to do it. They want to talk about this legacy gimmick? This legacy faction? Then you need to start calling people on the carpet again and start putting down legends and doing that if you're going to have a serious heel run. Because if that... This is only going to work for so long before the people get sick of it. Absolutely sick of it. And I mean worse than they were of Triple H and they are of Edge and Vicky Guerrero.
Spud, speaking of... forgetting one key factor. You think Vince gives a fuck what the fans want anymore? This isn't
yes, he does, because you know what? When it starts hitting his pocketbook, then he cares.
No. They still... His pocketbook was going very nicely when Jeff Hardy was holding the belt, but guess what? They went against the fans and they took the belt off of him. Didn't even give him one successful title reign. He's not listening to the fans there.
He had a month with it. Jeff Hardy's not a solid heavyweight championship material anyway, even with
not
the fans.
Not if you don't give him a chance. And he spent the last month getting booked to be injured just to keep him down until the Rumble, just to lose.
See?
They completely shit on him. He was making them shitloads of money. Half of the people backstage, I don't mean like actual wrestlers, I mean the guys in charge, kept telling, this is a bad idea. He's getting huge reactions. He's selling a ton of merchandise. This is going to be a mistake. And they still fucking did it.
He's a fucking spot monkey. He's a spot monkey. You can only keep that up for so long before it burns you out, and before the character gets burnt out, the gimmick gets burnt out. It's the same thing with Randy Orton. Randy Orton lacks two key skills to being a successful heel. He lacks the skill on the mic.
He has
his moments. He has his moments, but overall, he gets a solid D- on his mic skills.
That comes from the fact that he's scripted so tight.
Dude,
no
Triple H is
good on the mic.
Triple H and HBK are also heavily scripted. Same with Ric Flair, and they could pull it off flawlessly. There are people who know how to work a mic and work a crowd, and Randy Orton cannot do this. Cannot do it.
Okay, and, we never put Orton in the league of Ric Flair.
No, but I'm not putting him in it either. But what I'm saying is that there are people that know how to do it, and there are people that don't. And Randy Orton is one of the people who can't. Same with Jeff Hardy. Jeff Hardy can't work a mic. Jeff Hardy can work a crowd and work the fans, but he can't work a mic. He's a spot monkey. You put him in a serious match where he has to break someone down, he can't do it. Because he can't do his little flippies.
No,
little aerial tricks.
Except that's not his doing. He might be able to work that style if the bookers would actually do it. That's the problem. They want him to be the spot monkey because the fans go, ooh, ah, he jumped in the air. Big fucking deal. They don't write him into any kind of serious match, so how do you know he can't work a serious match?
Because they tried to give him that before and he couldn't do it. You remember when they were giving him the underdog card like they're doing with Ray Ray? Put him up against like the Big Show and Taker and people like that back to back to back to back. And he'd have to wrestle different styles. And the only thing he could revert to was being a fucking spot monkey.
Dude, he's written that way. If he holds the belt and they want him to work a more scientific match, there's nothing saying he can't do it because we've never seen it out of him. We don't know.
They need to.
No, WWE needs to show some balls and actually write people to do things that they don't normally do and see if they can do it right. At the moment, they're just staying safe with everybody, sticking to what they do, just because they don't want anyone to fuck up.
Yes.
And that's not how you build anybody.
Write in things for people to do that they don't normally do, like Vicky being a credible actress.
Oh, there's nothing you can write to do that.
I think we need to take a step back. I think maybe the problem with WWE is they're writing too fucking much.
We've talked about that ad nauseum, Nick. We've talked about that ad nauseum.
Yes, I know.
And you're never going to change it, so why bitch about it? The things I can bitch about are things that happened tonight, that I watched happen in front of me live on television. I watched them take a storyline. A perfect storyline, and I, you know my beef with this, Omega. You've heard my beef with this, with the JBL Cena or the JBL Shawn Michaels storyline. They took a perfectly credible storyline tonight, and fucked it all up, and screwed it royally, because they could have had their shining moment at WrestleMania with this storyline. You could have had Shawn Michaels give the sweet chin music to Cena, which he did in the match after he kicked JBL in the chops. And you could have let JBL go over on Cena and have Shawn Michaels enter the Rumble and win the Rumble to get his shot at JBL for retribution.
No.
Yes.
No, that wouldn't have worked.
Yes, it would have.
No, it wouldn't have, because then it's just, oh, well, now they have to face, and oh, are they going to? We've seen that. I want everyone, they're booking this, so you want to see HBK decide that he is going to knock JBL's skull in. And
he turned around and kicked Cena right in the chops. Big fucking surprise. And then Cena kicked out of the three count, and pulled the FU and won. Let me wank off to Cena's merchandise again. Jesus Christ, I'm so sick of fucking Cena and his storyline. They had the perfect opportunity to make it good, and they fucked it up.
Okay, let's talk on something completely different here.
Can we inject some optimism into this discussion here?
No!
Spug, seriously. Calm the fuck down. We're not going to be ranting for the next hour.
Oh, but I can. That's the thing, I can.
You can, but you'll do it alone. I'm not sticking around for it.
Omega, Rock, can you please sneak a Xanax into Spug's drink?
I don't think it would.
Sorry, that was just a quick production mode. I'm back.
Okay. See, it the only help. One on my side here is Wrestling Fanatic. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. He understands. He understands why I'm so pissed. The pay-per-view was a solid. But the pay-per-view was a solid B+, A- pay-per-view. From start to finish, it was a good pay-per-view. I enjoyed it immensely. They had things set up that they could have taken long-term and done wonderful things with it. And instead, they decided to go for the quick dollar sign, which they usually do, and screw it all up.
Yeah, but that's what the WWE's always done.
Didn't I just say that?
Yes. But why are you surprised?
Because they had a golden opportunity here. An absolute golden opportunity. And usually, when Vince is presented with golden opportunities, he doesn't take them lightly.
I can count a lot of golden opportunities
he
let go by.
Vince used to be.
I don't even think Vince is a genius anymore.
Speaking of golden opportunities, there was one presented to Vince a couple of weeks ago. You really want to make Randy Orton a credible heel? You really want to make him tops as a heel right now? Then you have him go after the biggest babyface of all time, who's getting inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame at the night before WrestleMania.
Stone Cold.
You have him go after Stone Cold Steve Austin. Don't let him go on his title run right now because he's not ready for it. Randy Orton's not ready for another title run. But you have him go after Stone Cold and beat him at WrestleMania. You have Stone Cold put him over and, quote-unquote, kill the legend of Stone Cold Steve Austin. That will make him the biggest heel of all.
Biggest heel at the sacrifice of the worst match in WrestleMania history. Stone Cold couldn't work a match today if you paid him $1 billion. He's just not built for it anymore. I mean, one RKO and his spine would shatter like glass.
Spug, you want a perfect example of how they fucked up? Vince is losing it. He came back and, I'm going to side with Stephanie. What the fuck was that?
Because Vince always does that. Vince, he'll go on a face run, then on a heel run, then on a... He always does that.
He should have come back as a face.
He did come back as a face.
He shouldn't have come back as a face, I mean.
Why not?
Because it was... as you said, Raw needs a heel. You need a heel GM.
Yeah, but Vince... No. I think Stephanie's been fine, especially when you got so many heels on Raw right now. You need a...
The problem is that...
If you got a heel-dominated show, then you need a... You need a face general manager. You need the contrast, and you need someone to be the antagonist.
The problem is that not that there aren't enough heels on Raw. There are plenty of heels on Raw. The problem with Raw is that there aren't enough credible heels.
The other problem... No, there's...
Who are the credible heels on Raw? Honestly. Honestly.
See, there's...
Getting people to boo you is easy. Being a credible long-term heel is hard. And the only one on Raw that I can think of is JBL.
Jericho.
And Jericho. I forgot about him for a moment. But Jericho and JBL.
Yeah, but they're fucking up Jericho at the moment completely.
I thought they'd been doing great with Jericho.
They're doing great with Jericho. They're turning him into a whining little baby. That's the gimmick he used to play. That's his heel gimmick.
It's not even a whiny baby. He has that character going where you know he's evil, but he thinks he's right. It's a much more psychological character. Because the fact is, when he calls the fans hypocrites, he's not wrong.
Nope.
They're led like sheep. And he knows it, and honestly, the fans know it, but they don't like to agree with him.
It's the same with the Muhammad Hassan gimmick, man. I love that gimmick. That was probably one of my favorite gimmicks in WWE, and they had to make too many terrorist tie-ins with it and screw it all up.
Yeah, that's, you know, WWE writers at the time just went with, well, we can't come up with anyone inventive. Let's just make something that people are racist against right now. It started smart, and then it went that direction, which, you know, you knew it was doomed at that point.
Right.
But
I wish they wouldn't have. I wish they would have continued with what he was doing, because he was – Muhammad Hassan was pro-American. He was pro-America, but he was
Well, it was fan ignorance is what it was. They just said, "Hey, Muslim, boo."
Because if you actually go back and listen to some of before the feud with Taker and the whole terrorist thing, if you actually go back and listen to Hassan's promos, he calls America the greatest country in the world.
Yeah.
It's full of great people, but they're all hypocrites and ignorant liars.
And even before that, his promos to open up, and it was a brilliant move. You had those promos that were, even before he debuted, he wasn't saying anything bad against America in his promos. He said, yes, I'm Arabic, I'm living in America, and I love America and the opera, you know, and all that. And they still booed him when he entered. Because the whole point was, we are going to let the fans decide if this guy is a face or a heel. If they're actually going to listen, or if they're just going to see him and, you know, take the, quite honestly, racist approach. And
the prejudiced, prejudiced approach, because one, the only thing the fans heard was his name and presumed his nationality. That's it.
Yeah.
Was he
They didn't
Italian?
Listen to a thing he said.
Yeah, he's actually Italian, and he's from Michigan. His name's like Rocco something or something like that.
I think they should have used Navari to do it.
Well, Navari actually is Arabic.
Yeah, but Navari can really, really well wrestle.
It's Davari. There's a D, not an A.
Davari, sorry, Davari. I think it would have been better having somebody like that.
But Muhammad Hassan can wrestle too. That's the thing. They handcuffed him. Once the writers latched on to the terrorist prejudiced gimmick, you know, and stopped being brilliant with it, they essentially handcuffed the gimmick. I mean, Davari could always wrestle, but Davari can't maintain a spotlight like Hassan could.
He's actually not doing too badly with the spotlight in TNA.
I know, okay. TNA's doing it worse than WWE did, because they're not even trying to interject any intelligence into it. It's all racism all the time.
He's from an Arabic nationality, Tim. Jesus Christ. That entire area, Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, Persia, that's all Arabic. It's all Arabia area, dude.
Middle Eastern
descent.
Guys, we're really getting caught up in semantics.
That's because Tim likes to do that. Instead of just running with it, he likes to argue semantics.
Tim, why don't you join in? Give us a call if you want to do this.
We're never going to get through the whole Rumble.
Okay, new topic. I missed this match, but Melina took down Beth Phoenix.
Thank God.
Who was surprised that Melina could still walk after getting beaten with her own leg?
I saw that. I turned around. I walked into... We go over to our friend's house to watch pay-per-view. And I walked into her kitchen, which is right off the living room, and I'm grabbing some hamburger station. And I turn around, and I see Beth Phoenix bending Melina's leg back and seeing Melina's foot touch her own head. And the first thing I thought was, why can't my wife be flexible like that? and then my second thought was, that's really gotta fucking hurt.
I told someone then online, okay, Beth is beating Melina in the head with her own leg. And they actually had... Apparently, this is just so odd. Did she rip it off?
Did she rip it off? Yeah. Because everybody knows Melina's flexible. I don't think anybody knew Melina was that flexible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not a spot you're going to see with anyone else.
I actually wanted to come out back wearing her old t-shirt saying, it's okay to stare after that.
Well, my thing with Melina is, like, I want to see her do the split again, but after the time that she came out and did that not wearing any panties, and the camera guy caught a good view.
And what was wrong with that?
It was on SmackDown.
Long enough.
Yeah, it was on regular network television. It happened on SmackDown.
I would think that's they could edit that out.
To the older, to the 18 to 35 male demographic. What's the problem? Good ratings.
Well, they were. That's why they started putting John Morrison or Johnny Nitro in front of her when she would do it. Because of the camera angle. I mean, the one time she wasn't wearing panties and she did that split and leaned forward, and I went, "Holy Christ! This is the greatest day of my life." Forget the day I got married. Forget the day my daughter was born. The day I saw Melina's twat on network television. It was the greatest day of my life.
I actually liked when they started doing that because it just made Nitro look like that much more of an asshole.
Right. Well, I get that. But no,
it's mine. You can't see it.
And I'm glad Melina's done the face turn and is a face. And I'm glad she won the title because... The one camera angle, speaking of Beth Phoenix, the one camera angle of Beth Phoenix when she first got into the ring or was standing on the apron getting ready to climb into the ring, did she not look like Charlie Haas with a hell of a lot of makeup on?
I wasn't looking that hard.
I swear to Christ, they duct taped her penis to her ass cheeks tonight. Because that outfit,
the Mr. Phoenix, that Santino relationship.
Because I mean, that skin tight outfit. I was really wondering what they did with her penis tonight.
Santino was holding it, I think.
And.
To be fair, I did like in the Rumble, Santino just running up to the ring, getting in, and getting knocked out, and him saying, I wasn't ready!
By the way,
I
do believe that is a world record, a Royal Rumble record for fastest elimination.
Yeah, 2 seconds before, I think that was less than one.
Yeah. The thing with the Phoenix match, when they were doing the introductions, or when the ref was holding the belt up and showing her on the ring, and they were doing the close-up facing shots on Melina and then on Beth Phoenix, did anybody see her hair kind of have that there's something about Mary moment where it was like just stuck up and off to the side? I literally yelled into the kitchen because my wife and Rochelle were in there. It looks like hair gel. And they went, "What?" I came running in. I pointed and showed them Beth Phoenix, and they about died laughing. They're like, "Holy crap, it's something about Mary."
Well, pre-show warm-up with Santino.
Aw, dirty.
What, you didn't make the joke?
Spug, I believe that's the definition of irony. You calling Omega dirty.
Listen, sir, I'm not dirty. I'm just unclean. There's a difference.
No, you just have no sense of good taste. And that's why we like it.
My sense of good taste came out the day I popped out of my mom. Not had good taste since the day I was born, sir. Care less. Anyway, let's take a break real quick. You're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio live on the Wild Talk Radio Network. When we come back, we'll get into the WWE Championship match featuring a really odd twist and discuss more of Royal Rumble implications.
A twist of fate, if it were.
Are you an avid tabletop gamer who doesn't have the time to sit and customize all the finer details in your miniatures? Then check out Burning River Model Works for everything you need to complete your tabletop miniature sets. Burning River Model Works specializes in custom bases, painting, and also miniature restoration service for all of your tabletop strategy games. Pricing varies depending on difficulty, along with the amount of time spent on the model or base. Shipping, as always, will be insured and sent to you via priority mail. For complete details, contact Drew by email at brmworks@yahoo.com or by telephone at 330-304-2025. Burning River Model Works. Custom miniature work for the avid tabletop strategy player.
The Wild Talk Radio Network brings you a great enhancement for your internet browsing experience, the WTR Network Internet Toolbar. It's free, it's handy, it's very useful. The built-in toolbar incorporates the world's biggest default search engine, Google, so you can be sure your searches turn up the results you would expect. Not a Google fan? Switch your search engines to ExactSeek. Our toolbar is loaded with features and extras. A weather tracker, built-in radio, lots of gadgets with games and info. And it's fully customizable. The WTR toolbar has no spyware, no malware, won't automatically reset your homepage or personal settings. In addition, we have incorporated a scrolling ticker for alerts and updates. Plus, you can contact and reply to messages and updates through the message center. Add any RSS feed you want as well. The toolbar also has a built-in pop-up blocker that is more than just on or off. Get the WTR toolbar today. It's 100% free and a great enhancement to your web browsing experience.
Attention ATS soldiers, I want to remind you to check out across the field.
What is that? What the fuck is that?
Every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on WildTalkRadio.com. As Spunk...
What's your name, scumbag?
...and DL...
That name sounds like royalty. Are you royalty?
...go across the field covering the world of professional sports and providing their unique spin on everything going on.
Are you about to call me an asshole?
So, ATF soldiers, remember, every Thursday night, we'll head to the battleground and go across the field. 6 p.m. Eastern on Wild Talk Radio.
I'll be watching you.
That is.
This is your friend, former WCW Cruiserweight Champion and WWE Cruiserweight Champion. Cheers for the Super Rat.
You got respect. Not the bad one. Not the great one. You got respect. The juicy one.
And you're listening to WildTalkRadio.com radio show, the best juiciest show in the world.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
You got your rules and your religion, all designed to keep you safe. But when rules start getting broken, you start questioning your faith. I have a voice that is my savior, hates to love and loves to hate. I have a voice that has the knowledge and the power to your fate.
Rock, if you're going to play any of Orton's music, at least play the only good one, and that was Motorhead's Line in the Sand. For Christ's sakes, play the long version, too. The good one. The one that actually had lyrics instead of them just repeating the chorus over and over again.
We're back, by the way.
I think I might take this opportunity to give you a bit of a down-under update. In Australia, we almost lost our TNA. We got it about 6 months ago now. We almost lost it. WWE's contract expired in Oz. And they wanted to pull WWE from Oz because they wanted Foxtel to drop TNA. So here is what they have done. Their contract got renewed. This is from unofficial sources, but they have changed the show description. So every time when you're flicking through the channels and you get that little comment, they have changed it from live wrestling via satellite. They've got join the dominant force in world wrestling, WWE Raw, featuring some of the biggest and baddest superstars, including Batista, John Cena, Shawn Michaels, and Rey Mysterio straight off the satellite. Now, does that sound like a Vince blowing himself session or what?
Sounds like Networkhead blowing themselves, not so much Vince. There's a difference.
If you say you're the dominant force in wrestling, it means
they are.
You're very secure about it.
No, they are, dude. Come on, TNA is not a competition. ROH is a competition. You and I both know that.
I know, but it seems so fucking tacky.
It's not tacky. Quit hating on something because you don't like it. That's my job.
Hypocrite.
Not a hypocrite. Just putting you in your place. We all have roles to play, buddy. Mine
What's
is
my
the guy
place,
that...
then?
Yours is the uninformed wrestling fan from Australia. That's your role.
Fuck you. I've been listening to wrestling for 12 years.
Okay, and I've been watching wrestling since I was 5, and I've wrestled. There's a big difference.
What do you think grappling is, dude? It's not that far a stretch.
It's a big difference. I amateur wrestled and I professional wrestled. It's a big fucking difference.
I'm talking about... What you've got to understand is, when I watch wrestling, I actually watch a lot of the techniques. I don't listen for all the promos and shit. This is my interpretation as a wrestling fan.
You want to watch for technique, go watch kids from the University of Iowa, University of Michigan, Ohio State. Watch collegiate wrestling and Olympic wrestling. You don't watch WWE and TNA for technique. Swinging a chair is not a technique. A suplex is not a technique. About the only technique that they do that can be anywhere tied to amateur wrestling is chain wrestling. That's it. Everything else has nothing to do with grappling and collegiate and Greco-Roman style wrestling.
Yeah, you need to actually take a step back and go, this has to appeal to the masses. It's supposed to also appeal to fans like myself.
Of course it's supposed to, but when fans like yourself, and I'm not picking on you. You just happen to be the one directly in front of the gun I'm about to fire. So just take it as you're a casualty of war.
When fans
like yourself watch it and think that they're going to get some kind of great technique or some kind of awesome wrestling, realize that these guys train 3 and 4 days a week to fake a fall. To learn how to soften the blow. There's no technique in it. There's no real style in it. It's performing. It is out and out athletic performance. These guys, most of these guys, wouldn't last 2 minutes on a real mat with anybody with any real wrestling skill. Hence why guys like Chris Benoit wasn't really successful. You know why? Because he could do it. He really could do that. He really was that skilled as an amateur wrestler. The real amateur wrestlers and the guys that know what the hell they're doing, if they get to the spotlight, don't stay there very long because the average wrestling fan gets bored with it. You know why? Because they're not guys like John Cena. They're not guys like HBK. They're not guys like Triple H, although Triple H is a very good amateur wrestler. But you get my point. They're not the over-actors and the charismatic guys.
I do understand what you're saying, but I believe that there should be a balance between the two.
It'll never happen. The days
of
George Hackenschmidt and Frank Gotch and the guys who can wrestle are long gone. Who actually legitimately can do amateur Greco-Roman style wrestling are gone. And we've got a caller on the line.
Got a caller in now, Hulkamania forever.
Go ahead,
sir. Happy Australia Day there, Nick. Happy Australia.
Aussie on the phone.
Yeah, we're taking over. Finally, somebody to back me up. Awesome. How's your Peter Allen doing?
Wait, who are you backing on this one? Because that's going to help me decide on if we hang up on you or not.
Ignore him. He's got no authority. Rock's got all the authority around here.
Oh, hi, Wynn!
Oh, apparently not.
Hi, Wynn! I actually didn't hang up on him.
I think Spug did that with his mind.
I really didn't do that.
No,
I think
he got a connection.
It's a connection issue. It's not my fault. But that would have worked. That actually worked really well. But anyway, you can't look at that and go, I'm going to get technique out of this, because it's not there. It's not.
Yeah, I think we got him back.
In a very different stage of wrestling, because if you look back to 98, and that's where my mind as a person, I always talk from take my interpretation and put it out there.
Wait, you started watching wrestling in what, 96, 97?
I started in 97, and
watching it since WrestleMania 3.
Yes, but this is how I talk. I talk from my interpretation, and I look at what was going on in 97 and the tapes I was tracking down back then, and there was a lot of things coming into the mix. Luchadors, very good chain wrestling. It's a balancing act. I know we're not going to be going back into 98. That's 10 years ago. Vince has decided this is what we're doing. We are in the land of sports entertainment.
Dude, they've been in the land of sports entertainment since the mid-80s. That's how they've skirted around promotion laws for two decades. Look, you want to talk about real wrestling, real technique, guys that can do it? Go get tapes from the late 70s and early 80s. Old NWA and AWA tapes. Go get that stuff.
You can find that stuff on YouTube.
Go find that stuff. Don't watch this mid-90s bullshit. Don't watch that. Go back to the real days of wrestling. That's what pisses me off with half the fans today. Oh, I started watching it in the 90s. Dude, I've been watching it since the day that Hulk Hogan body slammed Andre the Giant. I remember sitting on the floor at my dad's house and seeing that live when I was 5 years old. Live on pay-per-view.
One person that envies you for that, it's me.
Remember seeing that. And people want to sit here and talk about the greatest era of wrestling was in the 90s. Bullshit. The greatest era of wrestling was when I grew up. Because they had people that actually knew what the fuck they were doing. Guys,
I wasn't around in that era, so I can't talk about it.
I know, but
people
can do their due diligence and go look up history.
Yes, look up history. I was 10 years old and I was born in 88, 20 years old. I was able to research and find out the stuff that had happened 5 years before I was even born.
I mean, you look at the guys, you look at the people of that era. The Jake the Snake Robertses and the Ricky Steamboats and Macho Man Randy Savage and Ric Flair and people like that, people that could do it and legitimately cared. and legitimately could wrestle outside of the ring. And that is when wrestling was at its greatest. Not the mid-90s during the Monday Night War.
Yeah, but that was the last resurgence.
Sure, it was the last resurgence, I'll give you that, but that's not when wrestling was at its peak. That's not when wrestling mattered the most.
Memory. So you're saying as a wrestling fan, we're supposed to live in the fucking 80s? We're supposed to jump to the fucking 80s?
No, but what I'm saying is that people need to do their due diligence, and if you're truly a fan, and you think that the 90s is the greatest era, fantastic, but go do some research and see what came before it. See the history that came before that. See what paved the way for the 90s to happen. Because I'm sorry, as much as I hate the man, without Hulk Hogan in the 80s, the 90s never fucking happened.
Yes, exactly.
Without the run of Hulk Hogan...
I can tell you what...
Go ahead.
I can tell you the reason why WWE specifically is in the shits. Vince McMahon... There's two reasons. Vince McMahon hates the fact that wrestling is the only thing he is good at. It's the only thing. That's why he does the movies. That's why he did the bodybuilding. The second thing is he doesn't need to be successful. He doesn't need to make all this money and make his fans happy. The only time that's going to change is when there's another wrestling company that comes up and is competitive. And Vince McMahon won't change because he needs the money. He'll change because of his ego, because he has to control everything.
That I agree with.
He's changing wrestling from what it used to be, which is storytelling and drama, and turning it into a bullshit television soap opera that is so far away from what it is. Because
hence
he hates
why
the fact that that's all he's good at.
Hence why he's wiped out every memory of every company that he's bought the tape directory to. NWA, AWA, ECW. You watch any of that from what it used to be to what he presents it as now, and he's totally tried to wipe away the memory.
Out of curiosity, Starcade DVD box set yet?
No, I haven't. No. I didn't even know that was out.
Yeah, it's just come out. I don't think it's come out in Australia yet. And I'm just interested to see if anybody's done the research on it yet.
I haven't, but I will. Trust me, I will. I mean,
that's something that really intrigues me to see as a wrestling fan.
At one point, in the United States, we're getting ready to do this digital switchover that's been, you know, governmentally, nationally mandated that everybody that everybody switched from analog to digital. So if you have like rabbit ears on top of your television, you're going to lose them. And a lot of cable people are freaked out that because they have regular basic cable, they're going to lose it. And that's not the truth because it's still a digital signal. But my mom went out and we got digital cable. And so now we have all the cool stuff. And I had to beg my mom, but I'm like, you know, I'll give you the $5 a month. Get the WWE 24/7 again. Because I used to have that when I had my own apartment over not too far from here. And I love watching all the old stuff they put on there, all the old AWA stuff and things like that. And this month, because it's Black History Month, they're doing all kinds of stuff about, famous blacks in wrestling. I've seen Junkyard Dog stuff on there. I've seen, Tony Atlas and Rocky Johnson and things like that. That's the stuff that I love watching. And rest assured, when I find it, I will buy that Starcade box set and I will watch every DVD in it.
So it's something I really envy you, Spug. Go to fucking Walmart. They've got fucking everything. We've got nowhere like that in Australia.
Walmart's really cut
sale down here. Wrestling DVDs.
Yeah, Walmart's really cut back. Walmart's really cut back on the wrestling DVDs they carry. They really have.
You've got Amazon online, and they've always got a good selection, and they deliver very quickly in the States. Whereas when they're shipped to Australia, they like to take their fucking time.
If anything, I'll just go to FYE. and pick it up, or Best Buy. Best Buy has anything and everything you could ever want.
You got to remember, my experience of the States is mainly Hawaii, so I can't talk.
Yeah, well, come mainland, buddy.
What you've got to understand is, for me to come mainland, it becomes a very fucking expensive holiday very quickly. Because my airfare, because I did price it, my airfare to get over to LA was $2,000 return. Whereas my airfare to Hawaii was under $800.
Because Hawaii's midway point. You still get a layover in Hawaii. My Hawaii to airfare from Cleveland is $2,000. Believe me, right now I'd like to be there because it's -2 degrees with a wind chill. That's the actual temperature. The wind chill, I think, is like -22.
Okay, Tim, get out of your calculator. In Sydney, we were 41 degrees this week. That's Celsius.
Yeah, it's like 80 or 90 something Fahrenheit.
I don't know. It was we were all fucking melting.
Kill for it to be that hot right now. 82 degrees.
And then add 28, so that's 110. I was fucking melting. I almost lost it, went out and bought an air conditioner.
Shh.
Yeah, it's one Fahrenheit. I almost lost it. I went out and bought an air conditioner.
Not that hot. Let me deal with
not
that.
Not that fucking hot?
It'd melt the snow.
It is hell trying to sleep at night with that.
Turn a couple of fans on. And I want to thank our caller for calling in. I believe that was Wrestling Fanatic, who usually sides with me on a lot of arguments. But we're going to get back. I forget who that was, but I want to.
It was an Aussie. It was Mace.
Wrestling Fanatic was an Aussie,
oh, yes,
too.
Yes. Sorry, but, getting confused. Mace was supposed to call in this week.
But I want to get into
Wrestling Fanatic. You should know this is the network that was built on tangents.
Oh yeah. But I want to get into the final heavyweight championship match of the night, and that was the one for the WWE title featuring Jeff Hardy versus Edge. And Vicky Guerrero came out at the beginning of the match and said the only way that Jeff would have been able to retain the title was by DQ, and she took care of that by making it a no DQ match. And smarks across the internet lit up because they thought that was the way that Christian was going to come in.
Oh yeah, huge Christian chant fired up.
Yeah, huge Christian chant fired up.
So WWE, yes, the people in your audience have the internet.
And unbeknownst to all of us, WWE,
I think we just lost our Aussie.
Yeah, we did just lose the Aussie. Yeah. Unbeknownst to all of us, WWE twisted it, and at the very end, as you can see by the picture right now, we had Matt turning on Jeff.
Now, something
that didn't work for me.
Mm. Oh, I kind of knew something was up a couple of weeks ago when the promo ads for Raw in Cleveland started playing on local radio stations. And usually they'll run through the list of names who are going to be there. And you get the usual suspects and the usual characters. But the one at the end that threw me off was, and WWE Champion Jeff Hardy.
Yeah,
now, of course, he's not WWE Champion anymore.
Right.
But... At the time, I'm like, Jeff Hardy's on SmackDown. Why the hell is he going to be on Raw? The only reason he could be there is because Matt's there. So is something going to happen between Matt and Jeff? And I remember the last episode of WTR where we were talking about all the things that had been happening to Jeff, and we brought up the fact that it could have been Matt, but we all quickly dismissed it, saying no, they wouldn't do that because we were so sure it was going to be Christian. And well, it turns out that they did do it, and we were wrong.
Well, that, and they love their champion Hardy Boys. I mean, that's the whole reason that Matt didn't lose his belt sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wanted to have those two team up.
Oh, now you're not going to have it, because those two are going to feud.
Oh, well, yeah, and hopefully it'll be better than last time.
Right. Hopefully you get an actual payoff this time.
Well, last time everyone was nursing injuries, so I'm thinking this time we're going to get a little bit better of a match out of the two.
I would hope so. And I hope that they do this right. And I was telling you this on the phone, Omega. How twisted would it be to see Christian come in and team up with Jeff?
Yeah, because that was my suggestion.
Yeah, because you said you brought up Christian teaming with Jeff, and I brought up for the payoff match something like a one of their specialties, like a ladder match or a TLC.
Right.
And well, seeing Christian and Jeff versus Edge and Hart and Matt. Well,
here's how my brain works. They want to bring back in Christian, and the original plan was that Christian was going to be the one responsible for all these attacks, and at Mania, it was going to be Christian versus Jeff Hardy.
Right.
However, between the no DQ clause and Matt suddenly flipping out and dropping a belt to Jack fucking Swagger, it reeks of last-minute change. Like, maybe they thought Christian wouldn't work as a heel, or what I'm thinking, you couldn't have Christian helping out Edge, because it would put both of them right back to where they used to be, those mid-card tag team caliber wrestlers and characters.
Right.
You've done it to death. You can't put them back together. Same as the Hardy Boys. You can't put them back together more than, you know, once or twice a year, some big specialty thing, because it takes away from who they've become. And since then, you know, Edge, multi-time world champion, Christian, NWA champion. And that, you know, they both made big strides, and Christian, we heard the cheering. We heard the chants. They're hot for Christian. So when he comes back, they're not, it's going to be a face pop. They're not going to be able to make him heel.
Right.
So it really seems like, as shocked as I am to admit it, someone in WWE was thinking on this one. Because it...
Whoa, let's not jump to conclusions here.
Well, like I said, it just seems to work better, because this is the only way that you do something fresh and you do something that doesn't set anyone back by a good 5 or 6 years.
I've said it numerous times, Vicky has to go. She has to. Because I can't take that screechy, whiny voice, and every time she comes on my screen, I want to call my local Greenpeace representative and tell them that one of the baby seals has escaped and is speaking on a microphone on my television set. I mean... Edge is doing the ultimate opportunist gimmick well. It is now presenting itself away from ultimate opportunist to slithery, snake, whiny heel with fuck buddy in power.
Ew.
That's
some things need to be said. And ew. Like a Gossip Girl great ooh was
God,
appropriate.
We go back to the Edge and Lita days before we can go there.
I mean, really.
At least then we got tits on Raw.
It's one of those things where It's just, she's gotta go. She's bad for the company. She's bad for Edge's gimmick. Yeah. She's just gotta go.
Yeah, it brings the whole thing down. It's what they call the X-Pac heat. It's not that the fans are booing her because she's really good at her role. She's just really fucking hated. That's all there is to her. People are just absolutely sick of her. Except we have writers now that are too dumb to realize, hey, this isn't the kind of heat you want. You want them to be playing along. You don't want them to actually hate this person.
I mean, Vince, please do the internet smart community a favor and free Shamu. Let her go back to her natural habitat and collect her checks from you and the Social Security from the federal government for Eddie, God rest his soul, and live her life and let her go. Please, just free her. Free Shamu. Let her go. And Edge, honestly, as much as I liked Hardy with the belt and would like to have seen him last longer, Jeff Hardy dropping the title to Vladimir Kozlov would have worked better. Because now Edge is starting to get X-Pac.
No.
He is. Because sick people... Dude, Triple H got X-Pac heat when he was with Evolution. Because people were so sick of him with the belt.
No, you mentioned Kozlov, and that's where my disagreement comes from.
Oh, okay, well...
Because the whole point about Kozlov, he's the wrecking ball right now. If you put a title on him, then you know that a loss is imminent. It might take a good 4 months, but it's about to happen. As long as you keep a belt off of him, you're not sure when it's going to end, and you're not sure if it's going to end, and that's good for his character right now.
I tell you what, I'd be gay for this match, is Kozlov versus Triple H at Mania.
Well, it looks like they're going to do that.
Because I really think those two work well together.
Well, Triple H can carry just about anyone to begin with.
But Triple H isn't carrying Kozlov. That's the thing. If you've watched those two wrestle, it's a genuine give and take. They really work well together.
Well, Spug, I think you're going to get your wish.
I hope so. I think it'll be a good match.
Provided they're also given adequate timing.
Well, I think you can give them 15 minutes. You could give them a curtain jerker, and they'd be fine.
Oh, that's for the
ECW
belt. We all know it.
I know, but I mean, that's for the Money in the Bank and the ECW title. Yeah, but I mean, you could give them the second, third, fourth slot. Well, you'd actually have to give them a third or fourth slot because you need the crowd.
You have to give the crowd
time to calm down after the Money in the Bank.
Yeah, you give him the women's match after the Money in the Bank, and then you go to Triple H and Kozlov.
Right. You give him the ECW title after the Money in the Bank and a women's match, and then Triple H Kozlov to bring him back around again. But yeah, that match could work in the lower mid-card or middle mid-card. You'd have to plan it properly. But if you think about the feuds that they're setting up right now with the Rumble and things like that, it's almost like they're setting up too many feuds for Mania. Because we know some end at No Way Out in February, but a lot of them carry over to Mania and go through No Way Out and into Mania. It's almost like they're setting too many up at this point.
Well, we know it. We know No Way Out. They're going to have two Elimination Chamber matches again. So you're just
are they having
see,
two of them?
Yeah, they're the expectation is to make that an annual tradition.
Are they going to do the Raw and SmackDown titles, or are they going to do ECW title?
No, it's the Raw and the SmackDown titles.
All right. Honestly, I don't want Randy Orton anywhere near it. If he's going to Mania, then don't put him anywhere near it.
Because
to me, that cheapens winning the Rumble then.
It does. Yeah, it does.
Because why put the effort to win the Rumble if a month later you're going to have two Elimination Chamber matches?
Right.
I actually think we're in a bit of a fallout position at the moment. Because if you really think about it, that No Way Out pay-per-view is really slid in there. Because I reckon we're in the this is my naivety coming through. We're really in the remembrance of the Rumble always being the jump to, WrestleMania. Whereas I think that I've noticed that pay-per-view in between never really works well.
Well, it works well and it does well and they always...
As I said, for me personally...
It works well. And it's at a proper time because you have one last pay-per-view to set up big feuds before you go into Mania. My problem is if you're going to have two high stipulation matches or two high gimmick matches like the Elimination Chamber in the same pay-per-view and back-to-back, because there's no way that they're going to have one at the beginning of the pay-per-view and one at the end because it takes too long to lower that chamber down and set it up. I mean, they're literally at a 10-minute break. For those matches to set the chamber up. The guy who you just had win the Rumble not more than a month ago, it makes no sense to have him involved in that match. And yeah, Rock, Cena, HBK, JBL, Jericho, Ray, and Knox would work fine.
Knox because is a title opportunity. That's a horrible thought.
But Knox is a fall guy.
He'd be the first one out.
Yeah, you could even put CM Punk in there.
I
don't know with the IC belt.
I mean, you could put Knox in. He'd just be a fall guy. There'd be no point to him there. You know he's going to lose, but I think you have to leave Orton out because it absolutely cheapens him winning the Rumble because then people go, well, why do we have this pay-per-view in January? Why do they get an opportunity at WrestleMania if they can just wait a month and get their way into the title picture and go to No Way Out and try and win it in an Elimination Chamber?
They're not going to put him in the chamber. You've got plenty of people. You've got plenty of people that can fill that chamber on Raw. Raw has always been a stacked card. You could fill it no problem. So, now I don't know what the hell they're going to do with Orton at No Way Out if he's just off in the ether. He might, I don't know, we might see a six-man with Legacy. I don't know.
Well, with SmackDown, the card is far less limited. I mean, half the SmackDown roster is going to be in the Elimination Chamber.
Just because that's the best I can do.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you're gonna have Edge and HBK, or you're gonna have Edge and Triple H.
Uh huh.
You're gonna have Taker. You'll probably have both Hardys.
They'll probably have both Hardys. They'll have Christian if he's debuted by then, too.
I mean, there is a list that you can do with SmackDown, but it's not as numerous as you could do with Raw. And, you know, I thought of a better name for Raw than Knox.
Kane.
He's
the one guy that should be top card just for... He's been around forever at this point, and you can say, yeah, he's a former champion. He's a former champion for 24 hours. He needs
still a former champion. He's on the list.
But he needs a legitimate run, and he's worth giving the belt to.
To be honest, I would like to see Kane just disappear for a while and then make a comeback with the mask.
It could work.
Everyone wants him to have the mask back.
Everybody wants him to have the mask back, but everybody knows it wouldn't work. They all know it wouldn't work. You could do, you could do a successful run with Kane without the mask, but the problem is you have to turn him into the psychopathic monster again. You have to turn him into the big red machine once again and just let him start mowing people down.
Yeah, they don't use it often, but the psychopath he plays right now, it works for him. He's good at the role. They just don't use it right to make him a credible contender.
Right. And the thing is that he could be a face with that role. Or at least a good tweener. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Seriously, what the fuck were they doing before with him and Kelly Kelly? That just didn't work for me.
I don't know. That displayed his psychosis. I thought that was really good at reminding us, oh shit, Kane is an evil motherfucker.
Yeah.
Which they don't do nearly enough.
Right.
Yeah, but what was the point to the gimmick of that, you know, Kelly Kelly and Orton had a one-night stand and he told her to fuck off and he just used it? What was the point? It just didn't do anything for anybody.
At the time, Orton was actually getting a tweener response. There were people booing, but people cheering, and that was because he just came back from injury, and they weren't sure how to respond to him just yet. All they knew was, okay, he's got some appeal, but what do we do with it? So Kelly was there to remind us he's a fucking asshole.
I think part of it was I had heard that they were actually getting ready to do a short storyline between him and Kane. They kiboshed that real quick.
Yeah, again, Kane is hard. Kane would be hard to make a face, but you could. Orton could not be a face.
Right.
So it would go dry pretty quick.
You know, something I've always said, and I'm probably gonna piss Bug off to this, about this, but no end, but I reckon that they should try and pull away from the whole babyface heel and try and get the different demographics to compete. You have people of certain opinions and styles appealing to certain demographics, and just have the matches and have the different demographics arguing it out and who they're cheering for.
Right.
Like, I remember when Edge first came out doing the rated R superstar bit.
Well, that was
That was getting a really, really good pump from that 18 to 35 male demographic. And they were putting it up against Cena, who was the kids and the women. And the first time they did it, that wasn't a heel versus babyface. That was two demographics going at it, and it was really getting heated.
Yeah, but it gets old real quick. That's the problem. It gets old real quick.
You wouldn't have the two. They've got a big enough card to get people competing.
But again, it gets old. You can only do that demographic versus demographic for so long until you've bored the shit out of everybody. You have to have a little bit of substance and a little bit of surprise in there to keep people guessing and keep people watching. If you know every week that you're going to see the chauvinistic male versus the goody-goody guy, why watch?
No, but I was thinking of doing it in different ways. For example, you'd have, I don't know, it's hard to describe, it's something,
There's only so many ways you can put the douchebag up against the good guy. Many ways you can screw the good guy over until he goes over on the douchebag. It only works for so long. I get what you're saying, I understand it. But the problem is that there's logistical problems with it.
Okay, I can understand. It's very logistical, and it would mean a dramatic revolution for the revolution in training industry.
Has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with that, because you can saddle people with, okay, here's your gimmick. You could saddle them all with rated R superstar type gimmicks. You could do that. You could saddle them all with John Cena type gimmicks. But what I'm saying is that to the fan who watches wrestling, that only works for so long before you have to change it up. Look at Edge still keeps that moniker, but he doesn't do that gimmick anymore because it only worked for so long until they had to change it.
Yeah,
Cena said he changed it because of Vicky.
Not even that. It wasn't working anymore. You look at when he became the ultimate opportunist. The rated R superstar gimmick wasn't getting over anymore.
Yeah, but
he
do was you starting why to get working.
Because he started getting the X-Pac type heat, because people had seen enough of it and it was getting old.
And also, Lita disappeared, and she was also that balance to it.
She wasn't even the balance to it because she was with him. She was the female version of him. Her and her herpes.
Scabies.
I think
scabies. And syphilis.
I think the herpes, the scabies, the syphilis, it all helped Edge, though.
For a while, but again, people got old. It got old. People got sick. They got tired of it.
So people got sick from the herpes and the scabies.
That happened.
You're telling me, if the gimmick hadn't been done before, and Edge came out with Vicky Guerrero and said, if I win the title, I'm going to do the same things I did with Lita. You think anybody is going to tune in for that?
No, because it's old. One, and two, nobody really wants to see that with Vicky. I'm sorry. If I want to see whales mate, I can watch Animal Planet.
I think Vicky is the thing that's holding Edge back. I really do.
Did we not say that like a half hour ago?
I think we've been saying
it. Yes, but I think you underestimate how much it is.
Oh, no. I fully, look. Omega has heard me rant enough about Vicky Guerrero on and off the air.
I've heard you rant about her, but I don't think you appreciate what damage she does to Edge's character.
No. Well,
she tames him.
Oh, let me finish. Omega has heard me rant enough about Vicky Guerrero and Edge on and off the air, and he knows that I do like the Edge character. I do like Edge's gimmick of the opportunistic, kind of smarmy, arrogant heel, because then you get genuine heel heat. You're very talented. People appreciate your talent, but then they're like, why do you gotta be such a dick? Why can't you just do it legitimately? That's legit heel heat, and it's good heel heat. The kind of heel heat he's getting now is X-Pac heel heat because he's with Vicky. I completely appreciate what she's doing to the Edge character and how she's holding the gimmick back. I completely understand. And Omega will agree with me on that one.
Yeah.
By the way, I have to really apologize to Tony. Oh, I'm sorry I made you throw up.
I mean, you look at Cena, and the major thing that's holding Cena's gimmick back is the fact that he sells so much damn merchandise.
You said it earlier in the show. I would love to see him to turn heel.
Couldn't do it.
I would love to see it happen. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
You can't. I said it earlier that I would love to see him turn heel, because I think he needs a good 6-8 month heel run. I think he does. It's just like
right now, unfortunately, Raw needs someone else before they could do that. They need a guy like an RVD to be on that show and draw huge pops and be able to main event a Raw whenever they need it. They need someone who can fill the gap. He needs someone who can fill the gap that taking the top babyface out of the picture would create. And
you
right
know
now,
what?
Raw
I've actually
doesn't
got
have
the,
that.
I've actually got the perfect candidate.
Name?
perfect candidate. Mr. Kennedy.
If he can stay healthy.
If he can stay healthy, but you think about the success he's had as a heel, and he's had good, legit heel heat. It's not been X-Pac heel heat.
Yeah, but at the same time, there's an X factor to him, the kind that The Rock and Stone Cold had, where people just want to cheer the guy. And he can play a good face off of that.
I know. He can stay, and that's what I'm healthy. Saying. That's what I'm saying. If he could just stay healthy, I think he could be, you know, along with RVD, he could help carry Raw through a Cena heel run. And honestly,
crazy, but isn't he in SmackDown?
No, I believe he's on Raw. I think he got traded to Raw.
He was supposed. After that last draft.
How do you keep track anymore?
Yeah, they've been so inconsistent just because, well, we can't figure out where exactly we want these people.
Right, but, and honestly, when Randy Orton led the group of Raw wrestlers against Bischoff's team at Survivor Series a few years ago, or McMahon, I can't remember if it was Bischoff or McMahon's team, when Randy Orton was a face, back before Jericho retired the first time.
Those minutes.
Uh-huh. Those brief minutes that he was a face, he had the cockiness and arrogance about him, but it was a different type of cockiness and arrogance, and it actually played off as a successful face. Look, Randy Orton could do it. I'm not downplaying the kid's talent. And I can call him a kid because I'm 5 years older than he is. I'm not downplaying the kid's talent. He's very talented. He's very good at what he does. The problem is that he tries to blur the lines too much. I think too many wrestlers nowadays look to the day when the big three wrestlers in WWE/WWF were going at it. When you had, or four, I should say, the big four. You had The Undertaker, The Rock, Triple H, and Stone Cold Steve Austin. And those were, I mean, when those were the big four, before Kurt Angle became involved. And they try to play off of Rock's mic skills, but Stone Cold's attitude. And those two just don't mix. You can't have them both.
I don't know. Last time I saw
lack of discipline.
That too.
I think he's really had it too easy. I mean, I don't know that much about the guy's life, but I can tell you in the wrestling industry, I think he's walked way too easily into the wrestling industry. And I think he's gotten too big a payoff too quick.
That is very, very possible and very true. But go ahead and finish what you were saying, Omega.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did you actually say that Orton played a decent decent face?
He did play a decent face.
No. He was doing he was playing the exact same character he was as a heel, and he wasn't getting a consistent response. You had people still booing him constantly, and it wasn't the kind like Cena gets. It was more that, well, they're trying to play along, but we still don't like the guy because he's coming off like a cocky asshole, and it's just something that he naturally has.
I know, but you can use that. All right, Ric Flair had that cocky arrogance about him, heel or face, and people loved him. They hated him when he was a heel, and when he had that arrogance when he was a face, people loved him because he had it, and they knew he could back it up. I think part of the problem with Randy Orton is that he hasn't proven that he can back it up.
Do you think that they haven't actually established himself with enough street cred?
I don't know. I, credibility in the wrestling industry not only comes with what you do in the ring, but what you do out of it in the backstage area.
And I think Randy Orton shit in someone's bag.
Yeah, and Randy Orton shit in a diva's bag.
Didn't Mr. Perfect do that?
Yeah, but he's Mr. Perfect. There's a big difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what Mr. Perfect did inside and outside of the ring. Perfect could get away with it.
It was a perfect shit.
Yeah, it was a perfect shit. But Randy Orton, because of the problems he's had, can't get away with it.
That was a legend killer shit.
Yeah, it was a legendary shit. Not quite perfect. But, I mean, really, Randy would be a credible face. He could be, if he could get some credibility to himself. And if you're not going to do that, then let him fully embrace the legend killer gimmick and start popping off people one at a time again.
The only problem, the only way I see them turning him face is, and I really, really hate saying this, because if they do this gimmick, I will be fucking pissed off. And the only way they do this gimmick is by almost a Shawn Michaels turn and saying that he's come to embrace, you know, a god or something like that. That's the only way I could see them turning him face and seeing the error of his ways. And I would fucking be spewing if they did that.
No, because I could see him.
I thickly can't stand that shit. This is me personally. It might work for you, Smug, but I can't fucking stand it.
What, the religious act?
Yeah.
Dude, if you know anything about me, you know my hatred for organized religion.
I'm pretty bad.
Christmas. I am all for religion, but I absolutely hate organized religion and its hypocrisies, but that's for a different time and place.
Yeah. Not on this
show. You told me on that show?
Yeah, not on this show. We're talking about wrestling here.
Trying to.
We're not succeeding, but we're trying to. Anyway, you were saying, Omega?
Was I saying something?
Yeah, you were getting ready to.
Well, geez, I completely blanked.
I'm sorry.
Ugh. It's late here. I can't stay up this late anymore.
Oh, I hear you. It's my day off tomorrow and I want to go to bed. But, I mean, you look at the pay-per-view. And we're going to get into our final thoughts here. You look at the pay-per-view, they set up a ton of storylines to use for the next couple of months. My problem is that I really do believe that they underutilized some of the stuff that they had set up and screwed it up completely and royally. The twist with Matt Hardy, the twist with Matt Hardy and the Jeff thing was genius from the sense that now you can play the jealousy card amongst brothers, but how many times have we honestly seen that? It gets old real quick. But because we haven't got a true payoff between the Hardy feud, I'm looking forward to it. And with the names that they're going to end up bringing in with this feud, like Christian and whatnot, I would be thoroughly surprised if that didn't end in a match at Mania. You look at the feud that was set up for past pay-per-views, SmackDown, and even tonight in the Royal Rumble. I think you're going to have one hell of a mid-card match that could steal the show at Mania between Kozlov and Triple H. You're going to end up seeing HBK and JBL at WrestleMania. And, of course, Randy Orton in the title match, which if they put him in that No Way Out match, that the Elimination Chamber, it cheapens the Royal Rumble yet again.
No.
And if they're going to do that, please just eliminate the Royal Rumble and bring back the New Year's Revolution, because that's about what you've done, is taken that pay-per-view, which used to be one of the four big ones, and now made it like any other pay-per-view with a gimmick match at the end.
They're not gonna do that. They're not. It just doesn't make sense in the least, and it's just dumb. It's just dumb to begin with. They've got to find something else to do with Orton for No Way Out. But other than that, Raw is the brand that can hold an Elimination Chamber match and not miss anybody.
Mm-hmm. Got any other thoughts?
It's time to get the fuck out of the booth.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good thought.
That is a good thought, but I figured Omega had a couple more. You know what? Hold on. Rock brings up a fantastic point.
Does it?
We get, yeah, Orton and Shane at NWO at No Way Out.
That
could work.
That could work.
That could work very well.
I could do it.
I mean, you could have Orton Vince or Orton Shane.
I think Shane works a lot better than Orton Vince. I think
it does too, but I mean, really, this just Rock brought up a very good point there with the Orton Shane.
I think Shane just wants to kind of avoid the spotlight at this point in his life, though.
Yeah, especially having a kid now.
He's got two of them.
I don't think he likes being on the road. I think he likes being able to, you know, go to see his kids' football matches and, you know.
Soccer matches?
Whatever.
Yeah, it's soccer here, buddy. Football is, you know, guys in pads kicking the crap out of each other up and down a 100-yard field. Get it right.
I don't want to get into a rugby versus NRL NFL debate.
It's not rugby. I'm not talking about rugby. Football, there's a difference. You want to talk about football, that's European and Australia.
No, we call it soccer. Rugby is football here.
Yeah, we have football and soccer. You want to talk about we don't have football matches. We have football games. We have soccer matches.
Dude, you're not the only person tired.
Not that I'm tired. I just like fucking with people.
True. Very true. I'm amazed we've got
to get you that, Rock. I don't want to see them do that with Orton. I don't. I want to see Orton make it through No Way Out in a different match, in a different storyline. Nowhere near the Elimination Chamber. I don't want him to even look at the chamber. When he comes to the arena, keep your eyes on the ground. Don't look at the chamber. Go to your locker room. Get dressed. When you come out, when you're on the mat and on your back, don't even look up at the sky. Look over to the crowd. Look at the ring post.
Here's an idea. He'd have to go to FCW for a while and do a bit of training to get this to work. What if they put him on the mic?
Who, Orton?
Orton, scouting his potential opponent.
For Mania?
Yeah, scouting.
We already know who it's going to be. Barring somebody winning the title at No Way Out, it's going to be Cena.
But he doesn't know that. He can make it controversial. Make it seem like Cena's injured. Make it seem like there's a possibility they have no fucking idea who's going to win the title.
It would never work, and that's a BS. It's BS. It just wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. I would have to spend another 2 hours explaining to you in all the ways why it wouldn't work. I'm glad you're thinking, but it's just, it wouldn't work. But anyway, we're about to wrap up. Thank you for joining us on this post pay-per-view wrap-up show. The next show for Wrestle Talk Radio is February 8th, live here at 10:30 p.m. on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And then, of course, February the 15th, we'll be back at 11 p.m. for a post-pay-per-view show. And then it's on to, you know, full-blown WrestleMania coverage until WrestleMania in April. So, but thank you for joining us. I'm a Spud Guy. That is Nick and Omega. And please remember to check out all of the other fantastic programming all along the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are adding new shows weekly. You got Joburg Gets Wrestling Report, Sarah Butts of Bandanas. You've got Across the Field of Talking Talk Live. You've got all kinds of great programming. There's something for everybody. If you're not into listening to live programming and can't be here, we can podcast. We've got blogs. Soon to come, a forum on the site where you can interact with the hosts outside of the shows. So please do continue your patronage of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night and a safe week, and hope to see you soon.
Former WWE superstar and ECW general manager, Alejandro Estrada.
You are tuned in to the one that innovated it all.
Oh my god, oh my god, oh my god!
The evolution of online sports entertainment is back.
The boss is back!
WrestleTalk Radio is back on the air. Join us as we follow all the news and views from the WWE, TNA, and the indie circuit with Spud.
I like your poetry.
I like what you do to babies.
And the Omega Man.
I am awesome. I do what I want, when I want. I call the shots.
And now, get ready for WTR.
Politically incorrect.
Dead crowd of them. And you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Live.